Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Yud Aleph, and we are on the top line of daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. But before we begin, I just want to acknowledge the presence, I hope it's okay, of Reb Shimon Meir Weiss. He said it's okay. And from Seagate, and of course, acknowledge the fact, not just that you're here, but really everything you do for the Chabura, all the Chizik, the Safa Berur Gemaras, the shipment that we get before every Mesechta. So Hashem should bench you with Gezunt, and you should be Zeichet to continue to see Nachas from your entire Mishpacha. I also want to say that today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema from my Zeda, Avram Yitzchak Ben Chana Rasha. So we're in the middle of a little bit of Agada to Gemara, where the Gemara digressed from its digression, and the Gemara was talking about Rebbe and Antonino. So one final Gemara. It says the Gemara, a classic. Unkelis bar kloinemis igayer. Unkelis became a ger. Shadar kesar gunda duramoy basre. So apparently he was a person of chashivos within the Roman world, and they tried wheeling him back in. So the Kesar of Roimi sent troops to try to get Unkelis to come back. When they came to Unkelis, not only were they unsuccessful in getting Unkelis to come back, but to the contrary, Unkelis was successful in being Megayer them. Igayer. So the Roman Kesar sent another group of people to try to bring Unkelis back. But this time he warned them. He told them, Leitemer lo v'lei midi. Just don't talk to him and learn it. As they were coming, he told him, he says, listen, I understand you have strict rules, orders, you're not allowed to talk to me and learn it, but let me tell you something just interesting. An Nefyaira apparently was some officer within the Roman government. So he said, you know, he holds the torch for the Pefyaira. The Pefyaira is a higher ranking officer than the Nefyaira. Thus, the Nefyaira has to take a back seat. He has to be machni himself for the Pefyaira. Pefyaira has to act the same way. Duchsa lehegmoina. Hegmoina lekoima. The koima is the king. Koima mi noka nur mi kami inch. Who does the king have to hold a torch for? Nobody. He told him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu naka nur kami Yisrael. Do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our king, and he's such a unique melech. He's so compassionate that he actually holds a torch for his subjects, for his people. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, Vashem hoylech lefneim yoimam, the amud onon, the amud esh, it was a kadosh baruch hu bechvoidei ve'atzmai. Says, you want to know what I'm worshipping? The religion that I joined? This is a religion that has a melech who's an anafson, a melech who lowers himself, kaviyochel, to hold the torch for his people. So the Gemara says they were so moved by what the uncle said, Igayer Kula, they all became Gerim. So the Roman Kesar tried doing this a third time. This time he said, don't talk to him about, don't even say good morning. Nothing. As they were walking, so uncle saw the mezuzah. So he put his hands on the mezuzah. And he told them, Mayhai, do you know what this is? Amrulay. We don't. Emel or not. Why don't you tell us? Amar Luhus, he told him as follows. Let me explain to you what this mezuzah is. What the significance is. Ordinarily, the melech sits inside. He sits in his palace and he has avodim, shomrim, that watch him from the outside. But with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's just the opposite. Avodim mi befnim, that's us. V'hum nishamrim mi bachutz. The mezuzah is a shmira. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says Shakai on it. Hashem is watching us. When they heard that, again, the same theme of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being Meichel al Kvoidai and somehow catering to us, Igayer and Sula Shadu Basre in the Roman case, I realized this is not working out exactly the way he had planned, and he said he's not even going to try a fourth time. We'll get back to this Gemara in a moment. We know that when Rivka was having a very difficult pregnancy, right, she runs to Shem, the Navi, to find out what exactly is going on. And what does Shem say? The first thing he says, what does it mean? Shnei goyim bevitnech. Amar Rav Yudah Rav, I'll take goyim elegeim. Say Antoninus for Rabbi. It's referring to two great people. It was two nations, zwei folk. But at the same time, it's also Miloshin Geyim, two great men who are going to come from Rivka. Shalai Pasko Mi'al Shulchanim. What was so great about them? They were super wealthy. There was never a time if you sat down to break bread, you were at Rabbi Yudah Nasi's Tish, or you were at Antoninus's table, you would always find chazeres, which is lettuce, v'leikishos, cucumbers, v'leitznoi, radishes. Apparently, back in the day, that was a sign of wealth. Today, you'd want to know what the meat is. But once upon a time, vegetables and a salad, that was a sign of chshivos. And at all times, it didn't matter, v'leibim ma'isachama, v'leibim ma'isakshamim, there was always these things that were available. Thus, they were shnei geim, they were two great people, and that's what Shem told Rivka. The Amar Mar, what's so great about these things? Because we have a Messiah, tznoi mechate choichel. Radishes cut the food inside the digestive system. Chazeres mahapich meichel. Chazeres lettuce turns the food over. Kishos marchiv meyayin, and the cucumbers, they somehow, they're marchiv the intestines. The bottom line is, these things are good for the digestive system. Therefore, it was considered a chashivos for someone to have it. Only Gvirim had it. And Rebbe and Antoninus, they both had this. Break the Gemara, is that true? Kishos was one of the things mentioned. Cucumbers, kishuin. Is that something good? Why are cucumbers called kishuin? Because they're shver, they're hard, they're like swords, they pierce the body. Meaning, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? There's bigger cucumbers and the smaller ones. The bigger ones are not so good. The small ones are good. When we're mishabeach, shnei goyim bevitneich, we talk about Rebbe and Antoninus, that they both had at all times kishos. It was talking about small ones. Either way, there's a lot of rate to talk about. Let's just learn a little bit more Gemara, get into it, and then we'll come out and we'll speak out some ha'aris. Yoyim ha'leida v'yoyim ha'misa. So again, the Mishnah was discussing Eidayim Shalayv de'kechav. The Mishnah mentioned three pagan holidays by name, Kalanda, Starnura, and Kartisim. And then the Mishnah said, Yoyim genosir shamalcheyim v'yoyim ha'leida v'yoyim ha'misa. To the anniversary of when the previous king had died, that was celebrated as a pagan holiday. Thus, the halachas of lefnei edayim shalayv dekechavim shleisha yamim, aser lases for lases imam, are going to apply. Stating that, there was a machlekes Rameir and Chachamim in the Mishnah. Rameir said, any yoyim hamisa, any yortzeit of this king was celebrated as a pagan holiday. The Chachamim said, "Kol misa sheyesh basreifa, yesh ba'avodas kechavim. V'she'em basreifa, em ba'avodas kechavim." There were times that when the king would die, they would bury the king and they would burn, they would destroy, they would cremate all the belongings of the king. So if when the king died, there was a sreifa, says the Gemara, says the Chachamim, that's when the halacha is that Eidayim Shalayv Dechachamim are going to apply. But Chol Misa She'em Ba Sreifa, Em Ba Avoidas Koichav. Zok the Gemara, what's this machlekes? According to Reb Meir, all Misa, even if there's no Sreifa, Yesh Ba Avoidas Koichavim. According to the Chachamim, it's only if there's Sreifa, says the Gemara. Michlad, Reb Meir, Sovah, doesn't it sound like Reb Meir holds? Loishna Misa She'esh Ba Sreifa, Loishna Misa She'em Ba Sreifa, Pocholo La Avoidas Koichavim. That as long as it's a Yema Misa, the pagans would worship their Avodah Zarah on that day. Thus, you have the halachas of Mesechta Avodah Zarah. Alma, so you see, Sreifa lav chukihi, that the Sreifa itself isn't something that's intrinsically related to Avodah Zarah. Therefore, it wasn't the Sreifa per se that triggered that we should view this day as a day where they worship Avodah Zarah. As a result, only if there was a Sreifa should the halacha be lefnei edem shalev kechavim. Mechlal, and this is the punchline of the Gemara, the Rabbanit Sravi Sreifa Chukihi. Meaning, the Rabbanit say that a regular yartzeit, if a king dies the next year on that anniversary, you don't have to worry about edem shalev kechavim. Only if when the king died there was Sreifa, then you have to. It sounds like the Sreifa has something to do with Avodah Zarah. It must be the spurning the possessions of the king was some act of Avodah Zarah. So being that at the time that the king died, they acted in an Avodah Zarah dig away, that would trigger that every year on the anniversary it should be a yoyim for the Avodah Zarah. Thus, the halachas of Masechta Avodah Zarah should apply. If Sreifa is the determining factor, the Gemara is arguing, it sounds like Sreifa must be intrinsically related to Avodah Zarah. And that's why if there was a Misa Sheyesh Basreifa, you have the halachas of Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Gemara's problem is, Vatani, we learned in the Braisa, Sarfin ala Melachim. The halacha is that when Malchi Yisrael used to die, they used to do the same thing. It wasn't just a pagan custom. The Malchei Yisrael, when they would die, sometimes, Sarfan ala Malachit, V'loim Midarki Amari, and the Braisa speaks out. Don't think it's Avodah Zarah. It's Midarki Amari, as a result of Chubi Aser. It's okay. Freak the Gemara. If you're going to tell me that it is Avodah Zarah, not Hechi Sarfinon, V'ok Seva Buchukai Seyam Loi Sey Lechu. So the Gemara says, you're right. El the Kuli Amos Reif Alaf Chuki. You have to say that the actual burning of the possessions is in and of itself not Avodah Zarah. What's then the Machloik? Why does Rameir hold that even if there was Misa She she'im basreifa. You have the halachas of edayim shloiv the kachavim, whereas the kachavim hold only if there was a misa she'yesh basreifa. Doesn't it sound like the sreifa triggers the avodah zarah probably because it was an act of avodah zarah, and that's why only then? Mara says no. It's a question of chashivas. V'acha b'hakam mifukir. Rameya sav Rameya holds loishna misa she'yesh basreifa. V'loishna misa she'im basreifa. Polchol al avodah kachavim. Rameya holds a yoyma misa is a chashiv a day. Thus, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would go to their temples and they would worship their Avodah Zarah. It doesn't matter if there was a Sreifa, there wasn't a Sreifa. The Yemer Misa is in and of itself Chashiv. Rabbanan Tzarev, the Rabbanan Ol Misa Sheish Basreifa, Chshivalu Palchila. V'sheim Basreifa, Lo Chshivav, Lo Palchila. Now, if there was a Sreifa, it means there's some Chashivas. It wasn't just an ordinary king. They burnt his possessions. That was a Dover Shal Chshivas. That would trigger a day, but not that the Sreifa is something that Be'etzem is associated with Avodah Zarah. That's why you find that even by the Yidin, it was something that they did. Gufa. Sar for Nala Malachim, the Eim by Mishum Darki Amir. So we mentioned that even for Malchi Yisrael, you're allowed to observe this custom of burning all the possessions of the king. Shenemar, Bisholim Tomus, Ukimisrefois Abi Secha Malachim. The Pasuk's talking about Tzidkiyo. He was the last melech of Malchus based up. He was the last king before Churban Bayis Rishon. Who was the last melech Yisrael, period? That was like Grifas. But he was already from Hurdis, related to the last 103 years of Bayis Sheni, where Hurdis' family ruled over Klai Yisrael, as we learned in Gemara earlier this week on Daf Tesam and Aleph. But Tzidkiyo was the last melech of Malchus based off. And then it's a pasuk in Yirmiyo. The pasuk says, B'shalom Tomos, you're going to die peacefully. Ukimisrefois avisach hamalach. And they're going to burn your possessions the way they did the previous kings. So you see, it's a pasuk in the Navi. This is what they used to do. Bryce continues and says, G'shem shesef and alamalach. And just like they used to burn when the possessions of the king, when the king would die, listen to this. Kach sorfen al anasiyim. The Nasiyim in Bayis Sheni, who ruled over Klal Yisrael in a similar vein to the way the Malachim ruled during Bayis Rishon, there was the same minig. When the Nasi would die, they would burn all his possessions. Mahin sorfen al Malachim. What did they burn? Everything? Everything that the person owned? No. Mitasan. Their beds, uklitash mishon, and the kelim that they used to use on a regular day, the shtekin, you know, things that they needed on a day-to-day basis, those were the things that they used. Maisa, there was a story, Shemesh, Lilazok, and who was a Nasi? Vesorof, Olaf, Unkelis, Agar, Shivim, Anatsuri. He burnt a tremendous amount of money. Freak the Gemara, why do you burn money? For Amr, didn't we just say, Mahin, Sarf, and Alei, Mitasan, uklitash mishon, their beds, and their klitash mishon? Didn't say anything about money. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ema, Bishivim, Anatsuri. Lilazokin apparently was wealthy. So his mitasoy and klitash mishoy had so much value, it was worth shivim manatsuri, and afal pinkein, unkelis hager, mourning, Rabbi Gamliel Azakin, went, and he burnt all these things. But the Gemara says, midi achrini loy, is that the only thing that they used to destroy? So when the melech, or the Nasi, generations later, when they would die, all they would burn is mitasan uklei tashmishan. Vatanya, we learned in another braisa that discusses this halacha, ikrin ala malachin. And this is a very interesting minhag for people that aren't familiar with this. What they would do when a king died is they would take animals and they would literally, ikrin ala malachin, they would uproot the animals. And Chazal in different places talk exactly about how they did it, but they would mutilate on some level this animal. It was a sign of mourning. And the Braisa says, you're allowed to do it. The Eimbay Mishum Darki Amayri. So what's the kasha? The animals are not mitasan, and they're not klitash mishan. And still you see that they used to do it. Amra Papa, Susharachavala. No, we're talking about an animal that was klitash mishan. For example, the horse that they used to ride, they didn't have cars then. So you had a horse. So this was Kli Tashmishi of the king, it was Kli Tashmishi of the Nasi. That's what we're referring to. But the Gemara says, a sus is a behemoth tmeya, which is Kli Tashmishi. But I have a raya, argues the Gemara, that even by behemoth tahoiros they used to do it. And the point of the Gemara's kash is going to be that what kind of behemoth tahoira is Kli Tashmishi of the melech, behemoth tahoira loy? You're telling me it's not all animals, it's only animals that are klitash mishoy, such as a ferd, which would suggest that it only applies to a behemoth tmeya, because you'd think that a behemoth tahoira is never going to be klitash mishoy. But that's not true. But time we learn to the brayza, ikur sheyesh ba trefa aser, v'she'em by trefa mutter. The only time of type of ikur that's mutter is an ikur uprooting this animal, quote unquote, in a way where it doesn't cause the animal to become a treif. But if you're going to cause the animal to become a treif, it's also, there's an isser, a yid is not allowed to make a behemoth tahoira a treif. So you can't eat a treifa, that we know. You also can't make an animal into a treifa. So therefore, the Braisa says, ikur she'em ba treifa's mutter. But an ikur she'yesh ba treifa's aser. And the Braisa says, ve'ezu ikur she'em ba treifa. What's an example of an ikur? How could you be ikur the animal without causing it to become a treifa? Hamenasher parsoi seha. Somebody cuts the tendons of its hoofs. Menar kuva ulamata. But the bottom line is, you see that the Chachamim had to warn and say that when you do this ikur, which you're allowed to do, be careful. Don't turn the animal into a treifa. Obviously, we're dealing with a kosher animal, because a non-kosher animal, you could make a treifa. Now, if you're going to tell me there's no iser to be ikur behema, unless it's kli tashmishoi. So behema temeya, that should be kli tashmishoi farshteach, such as a sus, maybe a mule. But what kind of behema tahira is the kli tashmishoi of the king? So the Gemara says a very simple teretz, tirgamara papa be'egla hameshaches bekarayim. We're talking about the egel, the calf that used to pull the wagon, that would be considered kli tashmishoi. And it's a behema tahira. That's where it's negeya, this halacha. Just one more gemara. Yom teklachas zekonoi. Mishnah says that the pagans themselves, and now we're already not talking about on a macro level. We're talking about on an individual level. So every pagan, the day that he used to shave his beard and his blurus, he used to make it into a little yontif, l'chaim, everyone would come together, and on that day you weren't allowed to do business with them. But the Mishnah said, it's only Yersi Ayoyim and Yersi Ish. It doesn't relate to everybody. But the point is, there's an idea of Yom Teklacha Skonoi Ublurisoi. Right, the Gemara, Iboy, how do you read the Mishnah? Hey, Chitani, Yom Teklacha Zekonoi Vehanochas Blurisoi? It says Yom Teklacha Skonoi Ublurisoi, meaning the day that they used to shave their beard, which was one day a year, Vehanochas Blurisoi, and the day that they used to leave the blurus. So teklachas is going on the zokein, and it's going on the blurus as well. So we're trying to figure out what we mean when it says blurisoi. Is it the day they used to leave the blurus? They used to leave the chup? Well, it's not a chup. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Or the day that they used to cut it? Hoshma de tanya travayo. It's a braisa that actually says both. Yoim teklachas kone vanochas blurisoi. Yoim teklachas kone vahavaras blurisoi. So there was a yoim teklachas. There was a Yom Hanochas. Both of those days were days of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the laws of Edeyim would apply. Exhale. So before we go weiter, three R's. Number one, the daf began with the story of Unkelis Bar Koinemis, as in the famous Unkelis Sager of Targum Unkelis fame. Unkelis was from the most prominent Geirim in the times of Chazal. The Gemara talks about it in Masechtas Gittin, in Perek HaNezakin, and the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, that he went through some form of kishuf. He was able to bring down the spirits of Bilam and Yeshaya Noitzri. He asked different people. He was looking for advice. Should I join the Jewish people? Should I not join the Jewish people? And really, he wanted to know if it was Tutzach in the Oilam HaEmes, and that was going to help him make his decision. The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. You always speak out there. Meir Simcha, in a few places in Meshech Chachma, makes Cheshbonos, where a Targum Unkelis is Lishitasei with the Rabbi Eliezer and Shas and Rabbi Yeshua and Shas. Because Unkelis Ager, although he's credited for writing Targum Unkelis, but the Gemara says he really was Mekabel, the Mesoira of Targum Unkelis for his Rabbein. Who is Rabbein? Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But the Gemara told a fascinating story that when he was Megayer, the Romans were very bent out of shape. And they sent troops after him. They tried wheeling him back in. At some point, the Gemara says that Unkelis is walking out of his house. He sees the mezuzah, and the Gemara says, Oisif yodei Allah. He put his hand on the mezuzah. They asked him, what's this? So he said, I'll explain it to you with a mashal. He says, usually if there's a melech, and he has servants, so the melech sits inside, and the servants stand outside, and they watch him. But Klal Yisrael, it's punk fakert. The mezuzah is the shmirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shakai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They heard this, they were so moved, the Gemara says, they were megai. The Ramah in Hilchas Mezuzah, it's in Yerideya Simen Reish Pehe, says Ramah as follows. Yesh Oymer, Kishadam Yoytim in Abayas. When a person walks out of his house, Yoniach Yoday Ala Mezuzah, he should put his hand on the Mezuzah. V'yoymer, and he should say, Hashem Yishmar Tseisi Uvoyi Meyata V'yadoylam. V'kchein, the same is true, Kishi Yikonei Sadam Nabayas, when he comes into his house, Yoniach Yoday Ala Mezuzah. So he brings it as a Yesh Oymer. Then when a person leaves his house, and when he comes back into his house, Yoniach Yoday Ala Mezuzah, doesn't say Kish the mezuzah, but he says, put your hand on the mezuzah. V'yoymer, you should say, Hashem yishmar tzeisi uvoy me'ata me'adol. What's the makar to this halacha? So if you look in the parentheses, it comes from the Maril. Umuchach b'avodas kechavim daf yir aleph. And the parentheses got it from the Ramah himself in Darkei Moshe. The Ramah in Darkei Moshe, in his Pirush on the Torah, says that what was the Maril's Makar? It was a Vaydazar Dafir Aleph. The Gemara says that when Uncle Sagar was walking outside, he put his hand on the mezuzah. That's the Makar to this idea as Mekish the mezuzah. Comes from our Gemara, Vaydazar Dafir Aleph Amin Aleph. The Goyin in his Bir Agra says the same thing. Vaydazar Yud Aleph Aleph. Our Gemara, Chura, our Gemara is the Makar to kissing the mezuzah. It's interesting to know that there's a tshuva for Rabbi Kiva Eger. Kiva Eger and a tshuva. It's in Chelek Aleph. It's Simen Nun Ches. See, it's a very small tshuva. He starts off Ha'ara. Ra'isi mikama anoshim oisin shaloi kedin. I've seen many people that they have this custom and what they do is wrong. Dinayagin, their minigis, betseisim yipesach beisim, when they leave their house, lo'aniach yadam ala mezuzah. They touch the mezuzah. Ve'ina mechalkin, but they don't distinguish ima mezuzah betoich tik oilai, whether the mezuzah is covered or not. So our mezuzahs are all covered. But once upon a time, the mezuzahs very often were exposed. And Rav Kivega says, I've seen people put their hand on the mezuzah, whether it is betoich tik or it's shaloi betoich tik. Ulehedir kos betoizis perikam in the Shabbos, Rav Kivega, the lab dafke sefer Torah, we know kol kisvei ha-kodesh ha-metamines ha-yodayim. And the reason that metamines ha-yodayim, because you're not going to touch kisvei kodesh. So the Chachamim said, don't touch it. Oh, and if you touch it, you're going to be tamei. We'll get you not to touch it. And Tosfos says, it's Shabbos, daf yud aleph, it's a mefurisho Tosfos that called Kisvei HaKodesh. Not only a sefer to everything. Kivega discusses how could people learn Nizam when it comes to Megillas Esther. But either way, says Reb Kivega, it's Osir. So he says, I think it's wrong. People, they're not mavchin, whether it's betoich tik or it's shaloi betoich tik, it's a problem. And then he concludes the truth. This is the last paragraph. The hach mil segufa, this whole idea, leniach yodei ala mezuzah, ain't my makar b'shas. It has no makar. Rak b'shulchan aruch. It comes from the shulchan aruch. Simen reish pehe b'ramah b'shem amaril. But really, there's no source for it. It doesn't come from anywhere. Im kein pshita shaloi lasis kein, it's certainly wrong to do im yesh b'chshash iser, shem mekorei b'ashas. Tainu raparnach. Raparnach, that's this idea that kisvei kodesh ha-metamas ha-yodayim. He says, these people that touch the mezuzah when it's shloi b'teich tik, have a mitzvah, haba ba'aveira. It's wrong. So he says, lozem, ritzoinu leniach yodei ala mezuzah. If he wants to kiss the mezuzah, toiv lahoirin malbusha, he should lower his rekel a little bit. Asher ala tzile yodav leniach ala mezuzah, kach nir leniach staiti, koton akiva. That's how he finishes his tshuva. Either way, it's from Kiva Eger. Writes that he saw this minig, he was uncomfortable with it, but the punchline, Asher Negeya le'inyoneinu, is what he says, V'hach mil segufa, l'aniach yodei ala mezuzah, in lein bekar b'shas, it's the Ramah b'shem de Maril, it's mefurish Gemara. What happened to our Gemara? I guess Rav Kivega means is that it's not mefurish that there's a halacha that you have to do it. The Gemara says, Unkelis did it. From there, the Maril got that there's an inyan to do it. But to tell me it's a halacha, says Rav Kivega, it's not mefurish. There's no memra, like Rav Parnach's memra, that says that a person, when he leaves the house, should put his hand on the mezuzah. There's no such makar anywhere, says Reb Kivega. All there is a Gemara, Divrei Agada, where Uncle Sager did it. A very nice story. He was Magaya Romans by it. Either way, that's the first Ta'ara. The Gemara had mentioned that the idea of mezuzah is it's a shmira. So if you look in the Rishonim, in different places in Shas, there's a Rashi, Masechta Bava Metzia, there's Rishonim scattered. Poshit, what's mezuzah shomer from? It's shomer min amazikin. That's Poshim Shat. But I'm going to read to you L'shoyne Azov shal Rambam in the end of the sixth parak, Hilchas Mezuzah. Says the Rambam as follows. Chayev Adam li'yizar b'mezuzah. A person has to be careful when it comes to mezuzah. Mi'nei she'chivas ha'koil tamid. Because it's something that a person has to do, and he has to do with tamid. By the way, Hagoyin, Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, brought a raya from this Lashon HaRambam Tamid that a person has a chiv to have a mezuzah in his house even when he's not home. Kiyudur, Rabbi Kivega wasn't sure about that. Kivega and Shailos Tshuva Simon Tess has a whole discussion. Does a person have to have a mezuzah in his house when he's not in his house? Or does he only have an obligation to have a mezuzah in his house when he is in his house? You know what Kivega's raya is? It's Kivega's raya is from a Magen Avraham. Should we digress? Yeah. So Kivega's raya is from a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham and Simen Chaf Aleph brings from the Arizal. The Arizal said that there's a minig, toif, a pi kabbalah, to sleep in tzitzis. That's what the Arizal said. And the Arizal brought a raya. His raya was that we know when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul, he was in a base merchitz, he looked down, he saw he was Arim. He was very, very scared. Because he was Arim, he was scared. So, the Mar Masechtes Menaches, he realized he was Arim in a mitzvah. He didn't have any mitzvahs. And because he didn't have any mitzvahs, so he thought he was vulnerable. He thought now Shalom Melech was able to chapen. Achin Asakel B'Mila, he saw the Mila, and that's where he had a Nechama. Aye, he had a Nechama from the Mila. The Mila was something he did when he was 8 days old. So, Rabbi Itzel, a Petterberger, brought a Raya. we spoke to Sarah in the daf, in the end of Masechta Shavuos, that Mila has two dinim. There's the Maisa Mila that happens when a child is 8 days old, and then there's a mitzvah tmidi. He says that's why Yaakov Avinu's Mila, Simna Yod Chatachas Rurechi, was considered a Chefet Shal Mitzvah, even though Ovid Rav Nosson says that Yaakov was Noilad Mal. It wasn't a Chefet Shal Mitzvah in the sense that he had Mila when he was 8 days old, because he didn't. But being that he was Mekayim the mitzvah tmidi, of being a mahu, so on that level, it was considered a chefetz shal mitzvah, and that's why there was an akitas chefetz when Yaakov Avinu said, "Simna yotcha tachas yirechi dvarim neflam ad b'mor." Either way, freak the Arizal. This is the Arizal's kasha. He doesn't understand. David HaMelech is in the base of Merchitz. He realizes now he doesn't have any mitzvahs. What about every night when David HaMelech was lying in bed? When he was lying in bed, what mitzvahs did he have then? Zok the Arizal must be was wearing tzitzis. That's a raya that you're supposed to sleep in tzitzis. Zok the Magen Avraham. I know the words of the Arizal Adivrei Kabbalah. So Akabel, I'm not arguing. But Imle Din Yesh Tshuva. In terms of the Raya, Meken Din Zechmet the Raya. There's no Raya from David HaMelech that he slept in tzitzis. Maybe he didn't sleep in tzitzis. But you want to know why every night he didn't have this problem? Because every night he had a mezuzah. And being that every night he had a mezuzah, so the mezuzah was the Shmira. That's why it wasn't an issue. Frank Reb Kiveger. And when David HaMelech was in the base Merchis, there were no mezuzahs in his palace. Only when he was in his house did he have the mezuzah? And now in the basement, he also had the mezuzah. Zokrab Kiveger, there's a riot from this Magen Avraham that a person is only Mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah when he's in his house. But this Rab Kiveger a tshuva. But when he's not in his house, he's not Mekayim the mitzvah. Oy, bazoy, Frank Rab Kiveger, I'll ask you a gevaldige kasha. If you're wearing tzitzis, and then you take your clothing off, you put your tzitzis back on. You have to make another bracha. Tefillin, you have to make another, unless you had das, but ordinarily, you have to make another bracha. If there was a real hefsik and there was a real hesach hadas, you have to make a new bracha. Freit Rab Kiveger, if you're only mechayiv mezuzah when you're in your house, but when you leave your house, you're not chayiv mezuzah anymore. So every time a person leaves his house and he comes back home, he should have to make another bracha on mezuzah. Kiveger says, sorachi ladino. He says, I'm not sure. I don't have a good answer. It's the end of Shalos Tshuvos Rab Kiveger, Simen Tes. Azayz Rab Kiveger. Either way, Hagoyin. Rabbi Yochum Fischl, in his Pirish on the Smag, it's a mitzvah ches, if you want to look it up inside, he's medai from this Rambam. Chayav Adam Lizar b'mezuzah, b'pneishi chayves hakoil, tamid. What does tamid mean? Tamid, l'rabbis, even when you're not home. That's why the Rambam, b'l'shoyne azov, added the word tamid, which at first glance seems to be superfluous. What does tamid mean? Tamid means b'chol rega v'rega. Whether you are in your house, you're not in your house, not like Reb Tiveger said, a person's always obligated to have a mezuzah. But either way, says the Rambam, what's the purpose of the mezuzah? V'chol eshe yikones, every time a person enters his house, v'yetzein, he leaves his house, yifka b'yichud shmai shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should bump into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. V'yizkar ahavasa, he should remember the ahava. V'yeir mishnasa, he should wake up from his shlof. Ushkiyasa behavlei hazman. These are famous lashonos of the Rambam. The Rambam talks about these lashonos in the Chos Tshuva. That's the idea of the shofar. V'yeda she'en sham dover ha'imed la'olam ula'omei alavim el yediyah sura ha'olam. U'miyad hu chayzer l'daitai. Says the Rambam, you know what the purpose of the mezuzah is? When you see the mezuzah, you see Hashem. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. When you walk into your house, it's a reminder that He's in your house. And when you leave your house, it's a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is outside of your house. But the bottom line is, that's the whole purpose of the mezuzah. Amru Chachamim, kol mi sheyesh lo tefillin bereishoy, a person has tefillin bereishoy, u bezrayoy, v'tzitzis bevigdoy, mezuzah bepischoy, muchzak lo shelo yechta. It's Bechazok, he's not going to sin shin. Hare yesh le maskirim rabim. And then the Rambam says, v'hein heina malochim, shematzilu noise milachta. You find this idea of malochim, that they're matzil a person. What does it mean, malochim? They're not real malochim. It's the mitzvahs. Shinem achayna malach Hashem soviv li reyim, v'yachaltzim. But either way, in the Rambam, it's mavur. That what do we mean when we say the mezuzah shomer? Not shomer min amazikin, shomer min achet. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam's talking about the idea of mezuzah. This is the Rambam, where he discusses what exactly mezuzah is. The next halach is mitzvah saseh al kol ish vish miyisrael dechtev sefer Torah. The Rambam, at the end of each chelek in Yad Chazaka, gives a little divrei agada and explains to you a little bit about what's going on. So this is the Rambam's birur mezuzah. He talks about shmira, but not shmira min amazikin. He's talking about shmira min achet. Either way, that's the first ha'ara. The second ha'ara is, so the Gemara talked about the wealth of Rebbe and Antoninus. And the Gemara says that they were so wealthy that lo pasku me al shulchanam lo chazeres v'lo kishos v'lo tznoin lo bi moisach hama v'lo bi moisach shop. Tosa asks a kasha. V'af al gavtom rinon she Rebbe lo nene min ha'olam afilu ba'es b'ketanon. This is a well-known Tosa. Tosa asks, we all know the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Shas p'tir shal Rebbe." It's too blood in Shas. Ksubas kuf gimel, ksubas kuf dalet. And the Gemara over there talks about when Rebbe passed away, on his deathbed, he lifted his two hands, his 10 fingers, and he said he wasn't nene min ha'olam hazeh, afilu be'etzpa ketana. He had zero hanas, so he was very wealthy. But he had no hanah from Olam Hazeh. For a Tosfos, and here you have a Gemara, that the Gemara says that if you walked into Rebbe's house, the table was set, literally, like for a king, like for the Roman emperor. So how do you understand, how do you reconcile these two Gemaras? On the one hand, the Gemara says, and here you have an idea where the Gemara says, that he didn't have hanah, I feel about Etzpa Ketana. It says, Tosfos, one line, Mikol Mokoyim, Oichlei Shulchanei Hayu Rabbi. Rebbe himself, Farzich, he didn't have hanah afilu be'etzpa ketana, but for everybody around him, Rebbe was very great. To the contrary, there was an ashirus. It was literally kederech shahamalochim oichlin. It was just for he himself that it wasn't that way. But says Tosfos, you have to say, to make sense of these two gemaras, that it was for him that it was etzpa ketana, but as it relates to everybody else, there was a tremendous, tremendous ashirus. It's just kedai to speak out an unbelievable ha'ara from the Teres Chaim. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, also a well-known Gemara. The Gemara says, Omer Rabba Brei De Rava, the Itaim, as some say, Rav Hillel Brei De Rab Velis, Mi Mois Moshe Vad Rebbe, Le Matzino Teir Vigdul B'Malkam Echa. From Moshe Rabbeinu up until Rabbi Yudah Nasi, Le Matzino, you don't find that a person should have achieved Torah Vigdul B'Malkam Echa. Moshe Rabbeinu was Torah, he was also Gedula. He was very, very wealthy. Psal lecha, psal shalchahe, yay. Gemara says, Mikan nesasha Moshe, it's a Gemara in the Dorim, daf lamed chesam al. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Torah Gedula. Rabbi Yudah Anasi was Torah. We just learned the Gemara now. Rabbi and Antoninos, he was also Gedula. So Mimois Moshe vad Rabbi, loy matzinu Torah Gedula b'makam echa. The Gemara says, I'm forwarding, Omer avada barava, afani oimer, I can add to this list. Mimois Rabbi, adrav ashi, so there were three people that were Torah v'gedula b'malkam echad. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rebbe, as in Rabbi Yudah Nasi, and Rav Ashi. What did all three have in common? It says the Torah Schaim, Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Vav and Vav Amud Aleph. All three of them contributed a whole chelik of the Torah. Moshe Kibbul Torah Misinai. Rabbi Yudah Nasi wrote the Mishnah. And Rav Ashi, together with Ravina, they wrote the Gemara. And he says something unbelievable. I'll read it to you inside. Lefisha Torah yesh ba gimel chalokim. Mikra, Mishnah, Shas. V'lokach, yishem sham mikra nichtav ayidei Moshe, shlo yhoye kemoysei b'chol Yisrael, b'toyre v'gdula. Kach ha-Mishnah nichtav ayidei Rebbe, shlo yhoye gam kem kemoysei b'toyre v'gdula b'chol Yisrael. Sh'ayidei shahoye agadol b'toyre, v'gam b'gdula, listen to this, lokach hoye koyach b'yodai. Therefore, he had the means, not just the intellectual capacity, but the monetary capacity. He had the practical ability, less so if it's kol ha-chacham. V'kibetz kol ha-dinim u'pirushim sh'nischatshu mi'mois Moshe v'adzana. V'kosvam ala Mishnah. V'chein Rav Ashi. L'fi sh'hoya agadol b'toyro. V'gam b'gdulo. L'kach hoya koyach b'yodoy less so if it's kol chachmi doyroy. V'kibetz kol ha-dinim u'memroy sh'nischatshu mi'mois Rebbe v'eilach. V'kosvay ala Shas. So Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Moshe Rabbeinu before him, and Rav Ashi after him, they had in common, they all contributed. Mikra, Mishnah, Shas, they were Torah v'gdula b'malkam echad, says the Torah Chaim, because to undertake such a task of putting together a whole Mikzoya in Torah, it wasn't enough to be great in Torah, but there was a certain level of gdula that was necessary as well, and they had that level of gdula. And the final ha'ara is, so we mentioned over here the pasuk, Vayomer Hashem lo, shnei goyim bevitnech. Atikri goyim elogeim. So the context, of course, is the beginning of Parshas Toldos. The pasuk says that Yitzchak marries Rivka, and they didn't have children. Vayeta Yitzchak l'Hashem l'noich achishtoi ki'akori. They were davening, vayyosar lo Hashem v'ata Rivka ishtoi. Rivka is expecting a child, but she had a very difficult pregnancy. The pasuk says, she said, something's going on over here. And instead of going to a doctor, she went to the Navi to find out. She knew something was going on. There's absolutely something going on over here. This is a very extraordinary pregnancy because what you're carrying inside your womb is very extraordinary. And it's on this response that the Gemara says, I'll take you going well again, that who was it that Rivka was carrying inside her womb? It was Rebbe v'Antoninos, these two great people. Rebbe as a Yid, Antoninos as a Roman Caesar. That's the response that they got. The Chidah in his Svarim brings from Kadmoinen a Dover Nifla to explain Pshat and what was going on over here. Rivka comes to Shem. What does she say? Imkein lama zeh anoichi. Why me? Listen to what he says. He says that we know that Avram Avinu had a son Yishmael and he had a son Yitzchak. Who do you have Yishmael from? He had Yishmael from Hagar. He didn't have Yishmael from Sarah. And the truth is, say the Kadmoinim, the Svarim HaKadoshim, that Avram Avinu was going to have a son Yishmael. It wasn't possible for him not to have such a son. The reason is because he had a father, Terach, his mother, they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and there was a psoilus inside of Avram that was going to be manifest in his children. And it's for that reason that Avram Avinu took Hagar, so that through Hagar, he should get rid of the psoilus, which was Yishmael. And by getting rid of Yishmael, like this, through his wife Sarah, he'd be able to have Yitzchak. So the purpose of Avram Avinu marrying Hagar and having a child Yishmael is because it was inevitable that there was going to be some psoilus that was going to come from Avram Avinu, and let it happen through Hagar. Why should it come? Why should it come through Sarah? Rivka, when she married Yitzchak, she felt that in our marriage, we don't have to do that. The reason is because Yitzchak's a Bnan Shal Kedosha. His father's Avram Avinu. His mother's Sarah. Why in the world should Yitzchak have to take a shivcha to get rid of this? No psoilus. Avram Avinu had psoilus because he came from Terach. But what kind of psoilus does Yitzchak have? Yitzchak doesn't have any psoilus. So for him, it's not necessary. What happened? Rivka's pregnant. She used to pass the Beis Medrash, and Yaakov started kicking. And then she would pass the Beis Avodah Zarah, and Esav started kicking. You know what she realized? She realized she was carrying a Yishmael inside of her. She had a little bit of psoilus. So she said, if that's the case, why me? I should have taken a shivcha. I made a mistake. I thought that my husband didn't need a shivcha. But now I realize there is psoilus. Because I see that whenever I pass a Beis Avodah Zarah, there's a child that's kicking. So it must be there's a little bit of taruvus of tum inside of me. If that's the case, why me? I should have taken a shivcha. It would have been much better. Says the Chida. You know what the answer was? We just learned. It always bothered me. It's a pelad suma. Goes to Shem. You know you carry. You know what's tutzach by dich. You have shnei goyim. You have Rebbe and Antoninus. Antoninus. I mean, first of all, Antoninus next to Rebbe. Reb Yuda Nasi is netzach netzachim. Antoninus. Yeah, he lived a good life, but whatever. He came and went. The Gemara Grada says he has a chelik in olam haba, but Rebbe and Antoninus, and what about all the other great people that came from Rivka? These are the two great, these two gvirim, that's the punchline over here. Al tikri goyim elegeim Rebbe, v'Antoninus zoch techida. No. Shem was answering Rivka. She didn't understand. She said, lama zeh noichi, why do I have to carry that child? You know what the answer is? The answer is because you're going to have a son Esav. And from Esav, they're going to be gerim. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to convert, people that are going to have a chelik in Olam Haba. And the only reason that's going to be possible is because you once carried Esav. Had you not carried Esav, it wouldn't be possible. And the Chida brings from Darizal, that Darizal said that the Metzias is, it's very rare that you ever find a Yishmaeli that's Megayer. You know why? Because Yishmael was carried by Hagar. But Esav, who was in Rivka's womb, that's why you find the Ugarian from Esav. He brings, that's why you find Uncle Sager was from Esav, and you have the stories of Antoninus, and you have Nero and Kesar, the Gemara says, was Megair, Vyotzimi Menu Rameir. And the reason that happened is because Rivka carried Esav, and that's why this was all possible. And that was the answer. Shnei goyim bevitnei chaltik b'goyim elogeim. You want to know why me? Why there couldn't be a shivcha? Because had there been a shivcha, there'd be no gerim. And at the end of the day, in an ironic way, Esav's mishpacha through gerim contributed a lot to Klal Yisrael. And the only reason that was possible is because of the fact that Rivka carried Esav. Either way, on that note, a little bit more gemar. Zok de Gemara weiter. Amar Rav Yehuda. That's heavy. Amar Shmuel. Oida Cheres. Yesh Lohem. Beroimi. There was another pagan festival that was celebrated in Rome. Achas L'Shivim Shana. It was celebrated once in 70 years. Mevim Adam Shalom, they would bring a healthy person, a gezinta mensch, u'markiv enoisa el Adam chiger, and they would put him on the shoulders of a person that was lame, someone that can't walk, somebody that was a chiger, u'malbishin oisa bigdei Adam arishin. They would take this Adam Shalom, the person that's sitting on top, they would put him on clothing of Adam Arishon. I guess they had it. U'manichalei beroishar karkifloi shel Rabbi Yishmael. And they would put on him the skin of Rabbi Yishmael. Rashi says this is none other than Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, who of course was one of the 10 martyrs. He was one of the Asar Ruge Malchus. And when he was killed, he was a very, very handsome person. And the daughter of the Kesar wanted to preserve his skin. So Rashi says, Hifshit Arpana, she took his skin off, V'chanta b'farsamayin, and she preserved it. She'etehe mekut emes. And by the way, Rashi concludes, V'adayim munach begins a roimi. They still have it in their oitzris. But either way, so they would take out the skin of Rabbi Yishmael, put it on the face of this Adam Shalim who's sitting on the shoulders of this Chige, V'talabet savari maskol reish zuzah depizah, and they would take 200 something of Pisa, which is a very precious stone. They would give it to him as a necklace. And then they would cover his legs with inach, that's a certain jewel. And they would proclaim as follows, Sach kiri plasta. Yaakov Avinu's cheshbon, his calculation was wrong. And this is a reference to the fact that Yaakov, at the end of his life, wanted to be Megalo the Kates, and then Nistamu, he forgot it, he couldn't do it, Hashem didn't allow him to do it. But the whole premise of being Megalo the Kates is that there's going to be a Kates. And the Romans were mocking the Jews. They said, really? There's a Kates? Where's the Kates? Achu de Maron is Eifa. And then they would say that our Maron, Esav, the descendants of Esav, his brother, referring to Yaakov, was a Zayef. He was dishonest because he stole the brachas biramois. The chami chami, they would say anyone that sees this now, sees it, loy chami, but if you don't see it now, you'll probably never see it because, meaning if you're not in attendance, the next one's going to be in 70 years. Mayahani the Ramah Bramahuse, Yaakov Avinu stole the brachas, he thought he was going to benefit from it. Look at where we are, look at where the Jews are. He gained nothing from steal. This is heavy gvir la'achiv. This is, what kind of brachas did he steal? Ula Zayfon Abazachuse, Umasayim Bahachi, and they would conclude, Vaila Dain, Kadyakum Dain. However, if Yaakov ever has his day in the sun, we're in trouble. So that's the way they would conclude this little pizman. Amr Ravashi, Hechshilam Piyam Rishon. Now you see this Rishon, when they wrote their Nusach, they wrote it the wrong way. Why? Because Amru, Zayfona Achua de Maron of Kadarme. Had they said that the brother of Maron is a Zayfon, meaning Yaakov is somehow a cheater, it would have been good. But Hashad Amri, you know what they said? Marona Zayfona, Marona Gufa is Zayfona. They said Achua de Marona Zayfona as if Marona, referring to Esav Zayfona, he's really the Zayf. So they should have jumbled the words a little bit differently to make it more clear that who's the Zayf, who's Zayfona. It's Yaakov. And the way they presented it, it sounded a little bit like maybe it's actually Esav, says the Gemara. So if this is another pagan holiday, how come it's not mentioned in the Mishnah? He only mentioned things that are mentioned every day. The less of a chashas of a shasa, like a chashas. That's not mentioned every year. Not every day. Every year. That's so the ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah, those were annual festivals. This was something that was once every 70 years. Being that it was once every 70 years, that's why it wasn't mentioned. Zokta Gemara, Hani Duraimon. Okay, so now we know a little bit about some of the Roman festivals. We have Kalanda, Starnura, Kartisim, and now we have this other one that was once every 70 years. Uda Parsoimai, what are the names of the Persian festivals? Zokta Gemara, Mutardi, Vituriski, Maranki, Umuarin. Okay, Hani de Parsoimai. So now we know the Persian and the Roman festivals, the Bavloimai. What are the Babylonian festivals? Muranki, Vaknise, Bachnuni, Ve'esav Adar. Then there was another one on the 10th day of the Hebrew calendar, Adar, where they used to celebrate some other festival. There were five temples that were considered Kavuim. So these were Batei Avodah Zarah, but they were Kavuim. Kavuim in the sense that there were people that used to worship those idols every single day. Every day they would bring karbonis, thus it has halachic significance, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, you're never allowed to do business with them. So azai, it's certain edayim. But that's for the masses. That's when they used to celebrate these pagan festivals. But people that were members of these congregations, of these temples, every single day they would worship it. As a result, the laws of edayim shalai b'chavim would apply every single day. Okay, so once upon a time, this was important to know. This was halacha l'maisa. So the Gemara tells us, what are these five temples? Eluhe, Beis Baal, that was the name of the temple, which was Bebavel. Beis Nevoi, which was Bekursi. Tarasa, which was Sheba Mapag. Tzrifa Sheba Ashkelon, and Nishra Sheba Aravia. Nishra, which was in Arabia. Kas Ravdimi, Hoisifu Aleyem, Sheba Ein Bechi Nidbach Sheba Akron. Ravdimi came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he brought a lot of lumdus with him, it comes up throughout Chas, but he also had a halacha regarding these temples. He said that There's something called Nidbacha, that's the name of a temple, it's an Ein Bechi, that's also a place you have to stay away from every single day. The opposite, Yerid Sheba Akoi, Nidbacha Sheba Ein Bechi. My Kfuin, what does it mean, Kfuin? This is what I heard from your mother's father. Kfuin Heim Lo Oilam, meaning Tadira Kula Shasa. Every single day there's Avodah Zarah going on over there, the sacrifices going on over there, and it's for that reason, being that every single day, Polchulu, they worship it, it's always off limits. Even though the Mishnah says, Gimel Yomim, Lifnei Edem Shloiv Dikechavim is already a problem, that was only in Eretz Yisrael. But Begoyla, outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's only Yom Edom that's Aser. But 3 days before is not a problem. Yom Edom, Nami, Mi, Aser, Fake the Gemara, is Yom Edom even Aser Begoyla? For Rabbi Yehuda, Sharlei the Rav Bruna, Lizvunei Chamra, Rabbi Yehuda allowed Rav Bruna to sell wines to the pagans. Ulrav Gidol Lizvunei Chitin, Bechag Sedetai, and this was on a Chagah. This was on a eight. Must be because it was a chutz laretz. I mean, that was a chutz laretz. There was no issue. So the Gemara says, "Shani chag sedetai deloy kavua." No, those festivals they were in kavua, and being that they weren't kavua, it's for that reason it wasn't an issue. But Enochanami, if there'd be a chaga that was kavua, that would be an issue. Either way, we'll just conclude with one ha'ara, and that is we're talking about a dayem shal oiv dekechavim. So the Mishnah mentioned three Roman festivals. The Gemara added Persian festivals and Babylonian festivals. You know, there was one festival that was mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Ches Amud Aleph that actually has a lot of historical significance that greatly, greatly impacted the Jews without us going through Daf Yomi, perhaps even realizing. And that is, the Mishnah mentioned Kalanda, Starnura, and Kartisin. Starnura in English is known as Saturnalia. Now Saturnalia, just a little bit of history, was an 8-day pagan festival, as the Gemara says. The Gemara says it traces back to Adam Arishon. The festival was celebrated every single year by the pagans. It began on December 17th, and it went through December 25th. Those were the 8 days that the festival was celebrated. What happened was, just a little bit of history, that when the Noitzrim, the Christians, were going and spreading their religion, and they were trying to market it to the pagans, because they weren't very successful with the Jews. So they tried bringing the pagans in, who were low-hanging fruit, so to speak, to, you know, try to wheel them into what it is that they believe. So one of the things that they would very often do is they would make concessions to the pagans, because the pagans, at first glance, they couldn't relate to Nazareth. It was just so different from what they were used to. So as the years went on, they adapted certain pagan customs. Most Christian customs that we're familiar with are actually pagan in origin. But they would bring these pagan customs in just to make it a little bit more relatable to the people that they were trying to. One of the biggest moves they ever made was they accepted Saturnalia. They brought Saturnalia in, and it was something they accepted. So what was Saturnalia? So if you read the history of it was horrible. It was 8 days of partying, but it was Avodah Zarah, obviously. There was Gilui Arayos, and there was horrible Shvichas Damim. At the conclusion of Saturnalia, which was on the 8th day, they would take a person and they would sacrifice him. There was a human sacrifice. That was the conclusion of Saturnalia. The Noitzrim, they adapted Saturnalia. The problem was there were a lot of people that had an issue with it because it was pagan, you know? And being that it was pagan, so what does that have to do with their religion? So what they did was they worked backwards, and they said, we have to give this some Nazrus type of significance. So they made December 25th a day of great significance. They decided that that's the day that Yeshua HaNoitzri was born, despite the fact historians all agree that that's not the day that Yeshua HaNoitzri was born. That's why there's different Nittelnachts, and it's clear that that's not the day. So how did it become the day? It became the day because they had to back in. Here they took upon this Saturnalia. They had to give it some sort of chivos, so they sort of worked backwards, and they said, okay, we're going to attribute the birth of Yeshua HaNoitzri. We're going to even make that as having happened. As a historical fact, there were Puritans that for years, they felt that anyone that celebrated Xmas, anyone that celebrated Kratzmach, they were very, very disappointed because they felt it was pagan in nature, and it was something they absolutely can't do. But as it relates to the Jews, these were days that all the Shvichas Damim ended up all being pointed towards the Jews, and the Gilead Arayis was all pointed to the Jews. And this was a time of, it was absolutely horrible. There's letters where different Jewish leaders wrote letters to the Pope and to try to get them to be Mevatel Saturnalia. And of course, they didn't know it. They said, this is not the right time for it. And there's different responses that were given over the ages because the Yidden had geferlicha tsaris. Some say that's the origin to Nitelnacht, that the Yidden, they were afraid to go out on that day. They were afraid to go out because it was something said, you can't go to Beis Medrash. You can't go to Beis Medrash. So it became, you don't learn. But the point is, it was more, they were just so scared because of the history of what went on that day. So you read Starnura, and these were days you couldn't do business. But when you think about what the Yidden had to endure on these Eidim Shalev de Kechavim, it was horrible. It was geferlich what they made us go through. Either way, we should be Zaycha, be a Skel Tzedek, and may be made of Amen.